thankful this evening to be with you all. Request your prayers that you'll pray for me at this hour, this time. We endeavor to leave our burden here in Guthrie before we go home. Feel like the Lord has been dealing with us this past week, laid a burden on our heart, and we want to be faithful to Him tonight. I'd like to write a word over here on the board. I've written the word on the board, communication. I think I've spelled it right. So I've got it written down over here anyway. If you've been in a relationship very long, especially if you've been married, you find that communication is quite key to a happy and a good home. If you don't communicate a lot, you'll hear a lot of phrases like, I wish you'd have told me that. Or, well, if I'd have known that, I'd have done this. Or, if we would have been able to talk about that, then we both would have known. And there is a key to maybe the happiness, the safety, the security is often in the communication aspect. And tonight we want to talk a little bit about communication, and maybe not so much. We hear messages about prayer, and prayer is so important from our aspect to communicate with God and to share with Him our burdens, our stresses, the concerns that we have in life. But we want to talk a little bit tonight about God's communication with us. He has not left us in a situation where we are not able to know or to understand. That He has not left us without an ability to more than just talk to Him, but for Him to talk to us as well. He has a plan and a direction for us. He has a desire for us. He has an understanding for us and wants to communicate that to us. He has an expectation for us that is a high expectation. And what master would be a good master if he were to set an expectation but yet not communicate to us how it is to meet that and what he expects of our lives? I was thinking of the verse that's in Proverbs in the 21st chapter in the 2nd verse. Part of that verse says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. There is an aspect of this that we need to maybe lay a foundation with, and that is that in the decisions and the choices we make, that we have a conviction amongst ourselves or maybe in myself of what I'm doing is the right path or is the right way. It is understandable that we would base that on past judgments or base that on experiences or things that we've gone through. But we don't just face situations and just make a snap judgment. But most men or most people will make those decisions based on the things that they've been through in life. They're going to look at past experiences and especially maybe their upbringing, the way that they were raised, and their decisions are then based on their history and their experience in life. That, however, does not guarantee that the right decision has been made. It does not assure that the right choices are in place or the right understanding was in place. You take someone who's young in age and hasn't had a lot of experience, and they might make choices and decisions and things that they face without the full maybe experience of others that have gone on before them and make the very wrong choices, yet convinced in their mind that they have chosen the right way or what they have decided to do is the correct path based on maybe the young years that they've been around. Maybe even you get into older time and into older ages and maybe you've been through some things and some experiences. Yet there's no guarantee based on our own knowledge and our own understanding and even our own experience that we can be sure we're making the right choices without the communication that we need to guide us and direct us on a daily basis. We need this communication. There is no experience. There's no age that I can reach, that I have thus attained, that I can make all the decisions and all the choices for myself. I need this communication to direct me on a daily basis in the situations that I might come in contact with. I thought of some of the things that we go through and as we drove through Joplin and saw this tornado and you see the destruction in certain places and my sister-in-law was in the middle of it and her life was spared and we thank God for the protection over her. But there's others that lost their life in that same storm. A different experience. They've gone through something and different families there now have a different basis to go off of. And all of us here have differences of things we've been through in life. And I've been raised maybe different than you have. And you had a parent that maybe had a leaning in a certain way, or a strength in a certain way, or maybe a weakness in another way. But the key is it's not based on the history and the things of maybe I've even been taught, but I must learn the communication to understand that God can communicate and reveal to us individually the path and the direction that He has for us. It is our strength. I thought of when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and as they were led out of that place, it was not just left up to them to determine how to get from where they were at to where God wanted to take them. There was always a direction. If they would follow, if they would look, whether it was a cloud or whether it was a pillar of fire, the way was made that they could know and understand that God is leading me in this direction, and thus there was communication for them to bring them from one place to another. When I think of what God wants to do in our life, and I have a goal that I'm yearning to attain to, I need that communication to understand how it is to get from where I'm at. I don't have enough experience, even of old age, to know all the decisions and the choices. Now, we do learn from things, and God does teach us things, and that's important. But I can never lose track of the communication of God's ability to talk and to lead and guide us on a daily basis. I thought of the different battles that the children of Israel would get in. And whenever they decided to go forward based on old data, old intelligence, they would go and sometimes try to fight the battle in the way that God had delivered them before. But the key was, is they needed to go to God before the battle to determine, how is it that I am to face this? How is it that you want me to face this enemy? How do you want to bring about the victory in this place? It wasn't always the same way. Sometimes they marched around seven times. Sometimes they blew the trumpet. Sometimes the hailstorms came down. Sometimes they took fewer and fewer and fewer men. But every time, God, the victory is assured. But how we get there, we need the communication to understand that and know that. I thought of Genesis here in the third chapter and in the first verse. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he had said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden." We have an ability within all men to know what is right and wrong. When you talk about morality and where it started, and we want to go beyond this, but we want to lay the foundation here. That in the general sense of mankind, there is an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. It's ingrained within us to have a reality. You think of stealing, you think of cheating, you think of lying. There is a check that is in place in all mankind to understand and know. And in this place, once they had eaten of the fruit, their eyes were open to their nakedness. And when God came along, it was guilt and conviction that caused them to hide in the places where they were. Didn't want to face a pure God, realizing the state that they were in. And it was recognized after they ate of this fruit, the morality started to take place, and they knew what was there. But in order for us to have the understanding and the direction, the knowledge to go forward and then to live a life that is pure and righteous before God, it must go beyond just the standard morality of mankind. It must go beyond just the understanding of maybe what's ingrained in the flesh. But there is a greater calling, a higher calling. There's people who live good moral lives, and maybe they don't cheat, maybe they don't steal, or maybe they don't lie. But there is still something greater than this, a greater communication that God has provided for us to be able to face every situation in life and yet have a communication and a knowledge of what it takes to live through this, to abide, to do the things that He would have us to do. It's more than just being good people. It's more than just fitting a mold of the knowledge I may have learned as a child of what is right and what is wrong. But there's a calling that is higher than that, to bring us to a place where He communicates and reveals to us on a daily basis, to fight the battles in the places where the enemy would come in. It goes beyond just the morality of mankind. If all we are is just moral, then we're no different than a lot of people. But if we have communication with the one God and He is able to provide us direction and understanding, then in every situation we face, we have the right answers. We make the right decisions. We make the right choices. And when folks come in contact with us, it's with knowledge and understanding, not from necessarily our own experience, but because we're in contact with one who understands the full scope, the one who understands the situations others have been in, the word of knowledge that He provides to us, the understanding. Without the communication, I don't have it. In our own strength, and just the basis of what man is born with, it's not enough. Man is not able to live a life that is right just by what you're born with. It takes more than that. There is something that must be provided, a communication that must be given in order for us to live this way. I thought of here, and let's turn to Exodus in the 19th chapter. There was a law that God provided here. He met with Moses, the children of Israel, here in the 16th verse in the 19th chapter. And I want to pay special attention to the way that God presented Himself in this place. And it said, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." This would be a scary place to be. To see and know that the presence of God was descending on this mountain, and the lightning and the thundering and the trumpet was so loud that the people began to tremble. The law of God was about to come forth, and it was brought forth with a great commotion, a great demonstration of who God was. And there was a response in the people of fear of this great God and the law that He would bring. It says, "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake," and it says God answered him with a voice. He spoke to him in a clear voice and began to give to him the law for the people. It was not up to Moses to discern in a trumpet sound or in a thundering noise or in the wind or in the fire of what God was trying to get across to His people, but He spoke in a voice. This was important law. This was something that was going to bind them to God, the covenant that they were going to make, and it was going to be clear and understood, written in tables of stone that they could go back and look at and understand it. It was more than just, well, we think this is what Moses thought, or Moses obtained. It was in a voice, clear and definite. Something he could hear and could pass on to the people. We know that in the old law we have the separation, that through Moses and through the priests that had to enter in and offer the sacrifices. But even at that time, it was in a clear voice that God spoke with His people, verifying and laying out, "This is what I require of you." In the places where He said, "I'll make a covenant between you and me. I'll be your God, you'll be my people, and I'll bless you. I'll pour out all the great things of my kingdom. I'm going to give you all of this wealth, but you must follow." And then He spoke these things clearly, understanding, "This is what I expect." And when we stand before God today, there is a clarity. And what God expects of us, it's not confusion. It's not something that maybe it's this or maybe it's that. That's a tool of the enemy to confuse and to bring the intellect and all the other things. It's clear what God expects of us. His word is clear. His voice is clear. And He wants to speak to us in a way that we can understand and know. This is what God expects of me in my life. We might kick against it. We might have our own judgments. We might have our own things that we want to bring along. But the reality is that God's voice is very clear. You remember when Elijah ran from his responsibilities and the struggles that he was facing, and he was on the mountain. The wind came and the earthquake came and the fire came. Great demonstrations. But it said the Lord spoke in a still, small voice. "I'm speaking to you, Elijah. I have something to say to you." And his response was, "What doest thou here?" It wasn't for him to try to discern in the earthquake and in the mountain of what God was coming, but he spoke to him in a clear, small voice. He communicated with him, began to listen to the things that Elijah was facing, began to give him instruction that he could understand, that he could follow through on, he could be faithful in. We need that tonight. I need the understanding. I need the clarity of it. I want to be faithful. All of us do. I believe we have a heart and a desire to stand clear before God, to be able to know that we have done what He has requested. But if I'm not able to hear the clear communication, how can I know where to stand? How can I know the decisions and the choices to make in my life? How can I know what convictions to have and the things that I must stand on? Conviction means a firm belief or a strong belief. We have convictions because we've been told clearly, this is what I expect of you. If you're going to be my child, these are the things that I desire in your life. And it's when we are able to hear that voice that I can stand on those convictions. Other people can come and go and do what they want, but I've heard the voice of God. He's spoken to me and revealed to me. Now, this scripture says that every man is right in his own eyes. And when people lean to their own judgments, they think they're right. But when the voice of God speaks, it's clear, it's still, it's definite. It's something you can be sure of, that if you're faithful in it, that if you follow through on it, as he said to Timothy, if you hold fast to those things that have been delivered to you personally, the Lord has spoken and revealed to our heart those things. And sometimes I think it's common for us to come back maybe again and again. Are you sure? Did I hear you right? Are you sure this is what you're telling me? Usually he needs to tell us once. Yes, Lord, I hear your voice and I understand and I'll be faithful to that. But sometimes when it cuts, sometimes when it's a hard thing, we want to come back and revisit it again. Oh, Lord, are you sure I heard you right? But when he brings that conviction, when he brings that place where it's definite, I hear his voice. I want to stand in that place. Everything else can come and go, but I've heard his voice and I'll stand on that. It's definite. Now, my judgments can fail. Other folks' judgments can fail. But when I've heard the voice of God and He has revealed to my heart, this is my path. This is my expectation. This is what I desire of your life. There's no question then. And when the storms come and the times of when the enemy brings the doubts and I'm not sure about this or that, the one thing I can be sure of is when I heard that still small voice, that definite, the assurance. He's led me to this place. And He'll continue leading us on. If we cannot hear this voice, then we're lost. We're without any direction. We're without any understanding. The world has too many situations and too many occurrences that we can get into. I have to hear this voice. I must have the communication. We like having GPSs nowadays. And any time you go in maybe a closed-in tunnel area, or the one that's in the car sometimes shuts off and it's, oh, I got to get that thing. I don't know where I'm headed. I need the next direction. I need to know where I'm headed and how long before I'm supposed to turn and what's coming up. And when it's off, suddenly you feel lost. And you could even driven the path for a while. But with the GPS, there's an certainty. I know where I'm headed. There's a direction and an understanding. Folks today, they travel sometimes in life, I'm saying. And without that direction, without that voice, where do you turn? How do you know? When there's times of struggle, how do I know how to pilot and get through those places if I can't hear the voice of the one who understands and knows? The beauty of this in Hebrews in the 10th chapter, in the 15th verse, it says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now this is a close place. This goes beyond a thundering and a smoking mountain. This goes beyond going to Moses and the trials they had to bring. And he had to set up judges and different ways to discern. This is much closer now. To write upon our heart the laws and in our minds. The things that we think on. There's a difference between our mind and our heart and the things that we think on my mind, the things that I meditate on, to write the laws and the understanding, the things of God to impress them and imprint them, that those are the things that guide my thoughts in the places that I'm going and the things that I encounter. It gives me the understanding or the parameters of where I'm walking to know and to understand. It says to write my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This place that Jesus has brought, you think of when he died and the veil was rent in twain, the ability for God to communicate with us directly, to provide the understanding to me as an individual what his expectation is, that Jesus is able to enter in and to create that communion, that an intercession, and be able to provide the avenue that now I can go to the one and not just pray to. You think of when the prophets of Baal, they prayed and they hollered and they yelled, there was no response. There was no reaction, but this God, he speaks, he communicates, he provides a direction and the response. And I thought of the sister's testimony, couldn't find her cell phone. She said, a sweet thought came. Look in my purse. Look here, find other things. And there's a voice that comes, still and soft and sweet. It's not just happenstance, it's not just circumstance, and oh, I just thought of it. It's the direction and the communication of an almighty God who believes and cares about the very smallest details of our life. Even those things, I can't find something small. And sometimes we think of everything on a big scale. If you'll communicate to him, he'll communicate back, even in the small things. In a relationship like we have in the home, or in families, or when you're married, if you just communicate in the big things, it's not going to work very well either. You have to communicate in the small things as well. And sometimes it's not just in request or this, but it's just in the going ons of what's happening in my life. What's occurring? And it's not when God speaks, it's not always to lay out this great path, but often it's just to commune, to give us assurances and to fill us with his presence, that we're able to experience something of understanding of the things that we're facing. This communication is the sweetest. I think of the song that says, in the garden alone. And the stillness there as his voice falls and I can hear it. This is one of the sweetest aspects of salvation, is to be able to stand and listen to the Almighty God and hear him talk to me about my life and the things that I'm facing. Once you've experienced it, there's nothing like it. Once you've experienced it, if you've lost it, then you feel like the GPS has gone out. Where do I turn? Who do I listen to? The experiences of others may not be enough, but the experience of this one that can see and understand. He knows what's ahead. He knows the things that I'm going to encounter. And he may come along and bring directions and changes in my life for the very purpose of what he sees as to what's ahead. And if I'm not able to hear that, I'm going to enter into places where I need help. I'm going to enter into places unprepared and unable to deal with the situation that I'm in. It's important that, especially in the quiet times, in the calm times, that we're able to hear this communication, not just in the storm, not just in the places where I can't see my way out. And then I start looking, where is he at? And I can't. But before that, in the calm time, in the quiet time, this covenant, he says, where there is no remission, there is. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for me, for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, says, let us draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This place here, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We have a conscience, and God uses this in our life. In many places it says, with a pure conscience, or with a clean conscience. When we're living in sin and we're separated, the communication is severed often because the conscience is unable. We've overridden it, or someone has not listened to it, and pretty soon it doesn't speak anymore. People can go on and do despicable things, and they don't feel anything. The conscience doesn't speak. It's mute. But when we enter into this place, the conscience is cleaned. It's purified. When we come to that place and he comes in and he cleans us up, then there's a newness in place. That then as I go and you face the things the next day, there will be a voice there. This isn't clear. This isn't right. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't bring me closer to God. And that conscience will begin to speak. God uses it to direct and to guide. And as it's there, it begins to bring a conviction. Brings an understanding of, this isn't something that I want to be involved in. And it's at those times, whether we listen, whether we hearken to that conscience, whether we say, yes, Lord. Conscience is more than just our upbringing. It's more than just the training that we received. It's something that is within us that God uses. And once we're saved, it's cleansed. And He's able to use it to convict and talk to our minds and our hearts. This isn't right. This is not something that I'm interested in you being a part in. This is bringing separation from the clearing and the purity that I felt when I was at an altar of prayer. But if we override that, if we mute it, if we put it to the side and continue on, this communication will stop. You'll be allowed to go and continue on and do things of whatever you want to do. And you won't hear that voice any longer. He'll allow it until you come to the time, and by His mercy, He'll send His Spirit and again begin to convict. But you can go and spurn that and continue on, and that communication will stop. Won't continue to strive with it. He'll allow you to make those choices if you want to. And once we've found yourself in the place where you're at loss, when the world has crashed down and there's nowhere to turn, and then where's that communication? I need a way out of this place. This conscience is a precious thing. Having the conscience clear and clean. There's no disconnect. It's completely pure and clean, and there's no separation. When I kneel in prayer, there's not things that begin to come up of, I've got to deal with this first, and I need to deal with this, and I need to deal with that. But that communication is clear because we've kept that conscience clean and right. When the Lord begins to speak with us, it's time to listen then. It's time to respond immediately. It's time to say, yes, Lord, I hear you and I know, because I want that communication to continue. I want to be able to leave that place with a clearing and a clean conscience of knowing that I haven't spurned, that I haven't crossed. There's another aspect of this. Some folks battle with guilt a lot. And after God is cleansing, the enemy likes to come back and bring accusations and communicate things of misunderstanding or to confuse things. And I would encourage you tonight that if you have not crossed God, if you've not willfully transgressed, if you've not left Him, then it's the enemy working in those places. Now, if the Lord continues to work, and one of the aspects of this in this communication, we find that God is long-suffering to us, that He has good thoughts towards us, that He desires us to be successful. And when He speaks to us and when He convicts us, there's always the hope of being able to reach out to Him. It brings the love and the desire of God to be able to bring us from the place we're in to a clean and a pure place. The enemy comes and he wants to cast down and destroy. He wants to make it look as if there's no hope and there's no chance for us to ever be reconstituted with God. But we find that in the message and in all that Jesus preached and in throughout the Scripture that the hope is provided. When the conviction comes, it's because of the desire, because I want to be with Him, because I want that communion. I need that communication, and I desire it so desperately that now I'm miserable. But when the enemy comes in with those thoughts of guilt, then it's to cast down and destroy, to bring about a furrowed brow as if there's no way I could ever live where God would have me live. God enables us. There is nothing that He doesn't communicate to us that He does not give us the ability to fulfill on. He is not going to ask us to come to a place and then not provide the way for us to get there. Now the enemy will come and he'll bring doubts and he'll bring confusion and he'll cast down and he'll make it look as if there's no way for me to expand the gulf that I'm in. With God, I find that when He comes, He shows the path and He says, I'll lead you. You just come with me step by step. I'll communicate and I'll guide and I'll direct you every step of the way. I may not be able to see the path in its entirety, but there is an assurance and a hope that if I'll listen and I'll follow that voice, that He'll bring me to the place that He wants to. This evil conscience sprinkled, purified and cleansed, that now the communication is clear. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. 25th verse says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. This communication comes by each other often also. We have His Word, we have that. We have His Spirit. But it's also through one another that God communicates with us. through the exhortation of a testimony, or maybe it's in the conviction of a message that goes forward, He speaks to our heart. For us to be isolated and separated does not put us in a very good position for God to use others to speak with us. In order for Him to communicate, and in this place of us coming together with an openness, yea, Lord, search me. When the message goes forward, Lord, I want to be open and I want to hear what it is that you have to speak to me. I'm not so sure in my own judgment that I want to know, Lord, if there's some way that you want to teach me. Is there something that I need to understand and know? And it doesn't matter what age we get to, I still want to have that openness of, Lord, communicate and teach to me. And especially in our services sometimes, and I'll challenge you a little bit, that there's sometimes maybe those that we don't mesh with real well, or are there some you'll see and they'll roll their eyes. Listen to the message. Open your heart to what God is wanting to teach you, specifically in that. And I've found many times for myself, I've been challenged, that when you stop and when you listen, you begin to speak to God and ask Him, He finds a way to bring that message to your heart. To communicate and direct and show us, yes, that's my portion. That's my part. That's the communication of what you're teaching me in my life, the way that you want to bring me to. And it came through that one that I didn't know it would come from. And if I haven't listened, then I've lost out. I've lost out on the communication of what He was trying to bring. And openness, Lord, before this exhortation one to another. Preaching is an important aspect of our services. God uses it to communicate His word and His mind to our hearts. We want a respect for it. We want to have a reverence for it and a desire and an openness for God to use that time to speak to my heart and to teach me. The Lord is able. Even Sammy Morris was in the forest and God met him. But we have a great wealth in our assembly together. There is a great value in the communication that comes from our services. And there is a desire that should be within us. When the time comes that God is going to communicate His word, I want to be there. I want to hear it. There may be something that I need in that message from my heart and my life. It's easy sometimes to skip Sunday morning. Lord, help us. It's easy sometimes. There's a lot going on. Or Sunday night. And then in the week, we're not sure why I'm not getting the answers that I needed. Maybe the communication already went forward. Lord already provided the answers. You already spoke it. And I chose not to be there. I would encourage us. When the communication is going to be there, make an effort. Because I want to know what it is He's speaking. I have a desire. I want to be faithful. And if He has an expectation, I want to meet it. He'll be faithful to provide it. But it's up to us to put ourselves in the place where we're ready to listen. Ready to hear it. Yea, Lord, talk to me and give me my portion. I need it. I don't have the answers in my own right. This is a challenge for some of us that have been in the church all our lives. We've heard a lot of things, a lot of knowledge in our head. But in order for God to be able to bring these things and reveal them and communicate them to my heart, to write them as something that I have a conviction that I stand on, an understanding that is complete and satisfied, there's no question because He revealed it to me. It's a challenge for us sometimes. Amen. Psalms, and in the 19th chapter, in the 7th verse, says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." This communication doesn't have anything to do with IQ. It doesn't have anything to do with college degrees and the ability to understand great theories. When the Lord begins to communicate, He begins to make wise the simple. Though simple minds, it doesn't matter, even the most intelligent of minds. When He begins to speak and communicate His law and His understanding and His knowledge, wisdom comes. Understanding. And it is then by that voice that when we face the situations that we're in, we have the wisdom to understand and to know. The knowledge is there, not because of my great wisdom of being able to discern, because the Spirit of the Lord has come and revealed His truth and His knowledge. Continue on here. It says that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, bringing understanding. knowledge. This communication goes beyond just being able to discern and just my head knowledge. But when His Spirit begins to come and to reveal in my heart, giving us a spirit of knowledge, in one place Paul said the understanding, the enlightening, the full revelation of the knowledge of what it is and what He expects. Without that communication, without that revelation, then how do I know where to stand? How do I know what my convictions are and what it is that's important? What His expectation is if my eyes haven't been enlightened as to His understanding? This is the beauty of our relationship with God. That if we'll come and make ourselves available and lay out all of maybe me and the things that maybe some of you my preconceived notions and say, yes, Lord, reveal to me what it is. Teach me. Enlighten my eyes. Bring the light that I understand, that I have the knowledge, that I'll know the way to walk. If we'll have this attitude, if we'll have this spirit of wanting to learn from God, of wanting to communicate with Him, He'll be faithful to lead us. He'll be faithful to provide this enlightenment in our heart and in our minds. The Lord is pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It's speaking about that communication. On the fleshly tables of our heart as He begins to write His judgments, His righteousness, His knowledge, His statutes, the things that He expects of His people and His church as He begins to reveal it, it's sweeter than honey. It's beautiful. It's as fine gold, yea, finer gold, as the Scripture says. Has great value, great wealth. Moreover, by them is the servant warned. He's warned. I now can understand by the statutes and the judgments and the understanding of what lies ahead. The carefulness that it brings. The understanding of why there's some things that I don't do or some things that I do do. I'm warned by the statutes and the judgments. By the knowledge of it. The servant is warned. And in keeping them there is great reward. Great benefit. That reward often comes even in this life. Sometimes we think of the reward over there, but you look at a life of one who has followed and listened to the communication of God and they reach the end, it's great reward. The place of tranquility and safety of what God has brought them in this life now. And you look at the other side of those who don't listen and they follow their own judgments and their own ideas. It's the opposite of reward. Nothing left. Brokenness, heartache, loneliness, sadness. There is a warning in the judgments and the statutes of God to keep us in that place where the blessing of God is, the reward in this life. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous or arrogant or proud sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I'll tell you tonight that in order for God to communicate with us, our mind and our meditation has to be in the right place. If I've filled it up with everything else, I'm not going to hear the voice of God. There is so much in our day to day. The news and the media and the talk shows and this, there is so much that will fill up all the sound. It'll fill up every aspect of your mind if you'll allow it. Every day we'll have a fresh source. There's always something going on. There's always some tragedy in some part of the world. There's always something that will fill up and put us in a place where our meditation and our thoughts are far from the communication with God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the things I think on, when He says those laws written in my mind, that then they are the things that guide me and direct me. If my mind is in those places, in the quietness, a still small voice. It doesn't speak and shout. It's not in the wind and the fire and the tornadoes and the loud noises. But it's in the quiet time when I'm meditating on the things of God that He begins to then speak and direct and to guide. To lay out the steps, and then I know, and then I can go face a loud cacophony of the world and all that's going on and the noise and commotion. Because I've heard the still small voice. It's given me the direction that I need. Others can It's incredible. They call them the talking heads. They talk, they have all their opinions and their ideas, and they go on and on and on, and everybody's got an opinion. But in this place, the still small voice, this is the communication, this is the idea, this is the opinion that I want. When I'm not sure, when I'm in a close place, and when I'm making the decisions as to where I'm going to stand and where my convictions are, I need this voice. Often you hear people talk and say, well, I think this, and I want to know what he thinks. I need to hear that voice, or I'm going to make the wrong choice. I can guarantee you that tonight. Turn to John, and in the 16th chapter, here and in the 7th verse, says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but I cannot bear them now, or you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And it says, for he shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak in that still small voice. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, revealing the knowledge, the ability to understand and know. This is how we're able. How do you get to know someone? A lot of times we have perceptions of people, don't we? You think of a person a certain way, and then you spend some time in their home, and it changes your perception because of the communication, because of the time spent together. You begin to realize who that person is, either good or bad. When it comes to the Spirit of God, it is by His communication I begin to get a picture of who He is. I begin to understand what it is He's wanting to work about. I begin to see what the goal is. I begin to be able to mark the example, to have the knowledge. This is the perfection of this relationship with God. It's complete when that Spirit comes in and fully equips us to communicate on a daily basis. Using our conscience, using the places where everywhere we're at, in a steady and a still small voice. We don't have to go to the mountain any longer. We don't have to go to Moses. Don't have to go to the judge anymore. But in the face of the conflict, in the face of I'm not sure which decision to make, I'm not sure where to stand on this issue, then he comes and he directs and he leads in all truth, able to guide us. There's a verse in Philippians here in the 2nd chapter. Bear with us here. 2nd chapter and in the 12th verse. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence also, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It is by this communication. Sometimes this verse is used to give a lot of liberty and leeway. The reality is this verse is talking about walking a very close place, to be able to be a constant example, a light in a crooked and a perverse nation. What carefulness then? I want to hear that voice and I want to listen immediately and do all things without murmuring and disputing. I want to be as close to that as I can be. If this is the path that he's wanting to walk with fear and trembling, sometimes I wonder maybe if we saw the lightning and the thunder and the smoke, if we saw the demonstration of God's power in that sense, it would bring a little bit more fear and trembling maybe. But it's in light of that then that I take serious the communication that comes. Now I'm working out and I'm listening and I'm establishing because I want to be right. Because the scripture says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He has an expectation. And it's not so much now about how far can I get from the expectation, but how close can I attain to it. And I need to hear that voice to know that. I want to be a light, don't you? In this crooked and perverse world where all the judgments are wrong, where all the opinions are wrong, where all the decisions are not right, to be consistent and true, a light shining. It only comes from this community. It only comes from this source. it's not by any other way. I was thinking of a story that we all know it. It's back in April 10th, 1912, a great big ship sailed from Ireland, headed across the Atlantic Ocean. It lasted about 4 days before it struck an iceberg. Titanic sank in that place and took the lives of over 1,500 people. But what struck me about this story as I was reading it the other day was that there were reports that came in to the wireless operators of the icebergs that lied ahead. And for one reason or another, they ignored those voices. They ignored it. They said, and we could come up with many reasons, the justifications. When the Lord comes in and begins to move, there are so many ways that we can justify. Well, I've gone this way before. Or the others, there's other ships in the same area. There's all kinds of justifications that we can make. But the reality is once we've struck the iceberg, they had about 33 seconds or 48 seconds, somewhere around in there, once they saw it. Not enough time to change. Situation was upon them. The sad part about this is when we don't listen to the voice and we make the shipwreck place that we find in the Titanic, it affects generations. It affects those way beyond ourselves. It affects our children, our grandchildren. It goes on and on. In this place, in the Titanic, folks lost their mothers, their fathers. Some parents lost children. There was much loss of life. God is faithful to speak to us, to direct and to guide us. But it's up to us if we listen to that communication, that conviction in our conscience or in our spirit or in our heart, when He begins to reveal to us the path that He has for us. If we ignore it, there's danger ahead. There are places that will take our life and leave us at the bottom of the ocean. Getting ready to embark on a 10-day meeting here. Lots of messages that will go forward. Lots of conviction and anointing. I would encourage us all. I won't be here, so I'll encourage you to listen to the voice of the Lord. And as He begins to reveal and have an open heart, Lord, show me. Show me those places. Let me hear Your voice that I know where to stand. That when I reach the end of the way, I can with full assurance know God has led me to this place. And I've heard His voice every step of the way. Listen to His voice in this meeting. And I would encourage you, especially tonight, that if the Lord is dealing with you, that if there are places in your life that you know that the Lord is speaking, heed His call. Listen to His voice before it's too late. Pray for me.